Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, talking about the once saved, always saved, Dr. Charles Stanley down in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that he's misunderstood some scripture, and you know, we're getting ready to discuss that a little further. But we were talking about in Timothy about the doctrines to seduce the unsaved and the falling away. I believe it was. Let's see. We might as well just get to the part here. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." That's 1 Timothy 4:1. And we were talking about how, you know, how do you depart from something that you were not a part of to start with? I mean, like I had mentioned, I can't drop out. I can't leave the choir if I'm not part of the choir. I have to join the choir before I can quit the choir. And that's what this verse is saying, that they're going to depart from the faith. Well, you know, that's sad, but that's what's going to happen. Now, I was getting ready to get into the parable. You know, the fate of the unprofitable servant, you know, in Matthew 25:14-30, Jesus spoke about the parable of the talents. He was speaking on the subject of the kingdom of heaven, and he was ministering about being ready for his coming. Jesus shows us the fate of the unprofitable servant, and in the passages in Matthew 25:30, it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's Matthew 25:30. Now, I was reading an article by a guy who said that about this particular subject, and he said, you know, back when he was born again of the Spirit in 1989, whenever he'd read a passage of scripture like this, that he immediately understood that the Lord was referring to hell. And, you know, that's why he found it incredible that he would, and he had read the article about Charles Stanley, Pastor Stanley, and he said he found it incredible that he would just give an interpretation like he did. Charles Stanley, as I told you earlier yesterday, he's the well-known pastor of down in Atlanta, Georgia. He's got millions of people around the world that listen to him, and he's the one who you know, said this concerning that, you know, that passage I just read. Now, here's what he had to say about it. He said, "Where is this place represented by the outer darkness in Jesus' parables? Well, you know, to be in the outer darkness is to be in the kingdom of God, but outside the circle of men and women whose faithfulness on this earth earned them a special rank or position of authority. The outer darkness represents not so much an actual place as it does a sphere of influence and privilege." Now, that's what Charles Stanley had to say. Excuse me. Now, he went on to say, concerning the gnashing of teeth, Charles Stanley goes on to say that, you know, these people were extremely frustrated with themselves. And as some are celebrated for their faithfulness, others will gnash their teeth in frustration. And we do not know how long this time of rejoicing and sorrow will last. Those whose works are burned up will not weep and gnash their teeth for eternity. Charles Stanley said that in his book, Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? That was pages 126, 127. Now, earlier on in the book, Dr. Stanley had said, here's what he said, "The final verse of this parable, which is Matthew 25:30, is so severe that many commentators assume it is a description of hell. It is not." And this is what he said in his book on page 124, the book, Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? Now, if you remember Matthew 25:30, the verse goes like this: "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's Matthew 25:30. Now, you know, I don't know how to tell anybody this, but, you know, the Word of God is a final authority for me on everything. I have to know that it blends and fits well into the glove of the Holy Word. Now, the outer darkness that Jesus was talking about and that he was referring to in Matthew 25:30 is definitely a reference to hell. And it's a place of everlasting punishment. Now, you know, the Lord created, is a creator of all things and the savior of our soul. He wants, you know, people to be aware of the pitfalls, trials, and all that are going to confront them on their way. We know that, and he's told us about it. And all these different, you know, pitfalls and trials and circumstances that come up that are wrong, and that they're just an attempt to turn us away from the faith that the Lord got for us. Now, Charles Stanley goes on to mention in his book another instance where the same term outer darkness was used in Matthew 22:13. And he does this to show his readers that Jesus was not talking about hell. Now, that's what Charles was trying to do. Now, this phase appears in a similar parable in chapter 22 of Matthew. Now, in chapter 22 of Matthew, it says in that parable, an unwanted guest, by the way, is bound and thrown out of a banquet hall into outer darkness. Now, it clearly refers to being thrown outside a building into the dark. That's what Charles Stanley said. It's not about hell, outer darkness, is it? It's about outside of a building in the dark. Now, I'm not sure what's going on with Dr. Stanley at this point, because it's unbelievable to me where he's getting his ideas and his theology from at this point. That's really scary, because the man's he's been a pretty much dead on Bible teacher for a number of years. Now, I would say that Jesus is using that parable to get a point across to the people that he was talking to, who did not belong to him, that weren't followers of him, and that they would be cast out in the end. Now, in the parable, of course, you know, it's simple. In the parable, the man was thrown outside the building. But the point that the Lord was making was that the man was not clothed with the wedding garment of the righteousness of Christ. And Jesus used that parable as a warning for other people to get right with God. And yeah, in the parable, and that's what a parable is. It's a story, you know, that has another meaning to another context. And that's what the Lord was trying to tell people. Just like this man was thrown out of the building into the outer darkness, so will unbelievers be thrown out of the kingdom into outer darkness. But for some reason, Charles is, Stanley's not, looking at for what it is. I'm sure without a doubt, I know in my mind and heart, that Jesus was referring to those who reject his gospel. That's what the parable was about, especially the unbelieving Jews, and that they would be cast into outer darkness of hell for eternity. You know, the Lord was talking about the kingdom of heaven in this parable, so, you know, we got to relate the whole parable to what it is. We can't just nitpick it. And also on the unprofitable servant, he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, we're talking about who's going to enter heaven and who's going to be thrown into hell. And that's what the Lord was trying to say in these, that's the point he was trying to make. You know, Jesus used that term outer darkness, actually after he witnessed the great faith of the Gentile centurion. If you remember that story, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man of under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Now, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he's talking about so many of the Jews, see, that aren't believing on him. Now that, again, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven in these parables. He was actually, you know, making a point in this last message. But it's in agreement with what we're talking about. That's how it works. It's what Jesus is talking about. He said, I have not found a faith so great as he did in this centurion, Gentile. So, you know, the Lord's simply telling the unbelieving Jews that there'd be believing Gentiles with that had faith in Jesus coming from all over the world, from the east and the west, who were going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they were cast into the outer darkness of eternal hell for their unbelief. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 25, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's preaching about his second coming and the importance of being ready. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the Lord preaches about the wise and the foolish virgins. He specifically referred to the kingdom of heaven once again. The foolish virgins allowed their lamps to be snuffed out, which, you know, does tell us that they were previously lit. In Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the Lord's still talking about the unprofitable servant who did not use his talent. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, he's also talking about his second coming in the glory with his angels. The Lord preaches about the sheep who are referred to as believers, and also the goats, which is the unbelievers. The entire chapter's about being prepared for his second coming. So I'm not sure why Charles Stanley's so mixed up on this, but we'll take a quick look here at his interpretation of Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's unbelievable and incredible that he would even write something like this, because I was shocked by it. With all the modern, you know, day talk about so-called works gospels, it's amazing and all that, that his folks don't, the followers, his congregation don't see what's going on here. But can you imagine, because remember what he said about the gnashing of teeth and everything, can you imagine a person in the kingdom of heaven gnashing their teeth for a temporary period of time before being let back inside to be with those who earn themselves a special rank or position of authority? I don't get it. He knows that. He knows better than that. Charles knows better than that. You know, but Christ, he told us all and he warned us. So, you know, when we're yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, for scarcely a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards all of us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that? So, you know, we're justified by his blood, and we'd be saved from the wrath through him and him alone. There's no works involved in your salvation. So let's see what the Bible, let's see what Jesus said in some of these scriptures here. If you read the full parable of Matthew 25, 14, 30, you'll see that the Lord referred to the unprofitable servant as wicked in Matthew 25, 26. So there's a little bit more to go here. Then we're going to get into some of this other stuff, but let's finish up tomorrow with this, and then we'll go on to something new and exciting. We love you. I trust that y'all are staying faithful to the Lord. You're studying, reading your Bible. You're praying, having a discussion with God. Have a friendly talk with God. Get to know him closer and better. So we love you. We'll talk to you folks in the morning. God bless you.